Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Good evening and welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential and can be found on the web at www.winbridge.org. Tonight's guest is Dr. Claude Swanson, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number here is 888-627-6008, or you can instant message the studio at Signs of Life Radio on AIM. And good evening to you, Bob.
Hello, Fran, and I am excited. It's always a pleasure to speak with our guest, Dr. Claude Swanson. We'll be talking about the life force tonight just in a few minutes. Took a glance over at your desk, saw you had an article there, one that I had read previously about Patrick Swayze. What made you cut that out?
Well, he's one of the passings of the recent year, but I think what was more interesting is that, well, he wrote a book, and interestingly enough, his widow has written a book called Worth Fighting For, Love Loss, and Moving Forward. And they talk about a time in their life when things didn't really make sense to them. And so most recently what has happened is Lisa, his wife, his widow, has removed her wedding ring and has, for the first time, has taken the last name of Swayze. Now, they were married for 34 years, and she never thought to take that name.
Right.
But now off comes the wedding ring, and on comes the name that says she's attached to him.
Right.
So in the physical world, this doesn't seem to make sense. You know, either you're still with them or you're not with
right.
them. But her explanation is quite interesting. She says, about a year ago or 8 months ago, all of a sudden I had this bizarre thought, and it didn't really make sense to me, but I had a moment when I went, you know, what does this ring say? And I'm married to this physical form. And actually, she did this while she was on New York Live, so there is a recording of this actually taking place. But she says, and actually, my connection to Patrick since has been gone. I've had a much deeper connection than that. And I felt like, in a way, for me personally, wearing the ring was lying about the depth of my relationship. So,
yeah, well, it's interesting. As you say, the two things don't usually go together, and most people find some comfort, you know, in having, you know, something physical of their loved one. But
right.
I recall her also saying something when I glanced at the article, or maybe it was a different article, where that she felt that her bond now with Patrick was closer than it had ever been when he was in the physical. So in some way, she thought that the having something physical made no sense. Her bond goes way beyond the physical. And, of course, what makes it even more poignant or interesting is the work that Patrick did specifically with a movie that so many people relate to, you know, in Ghost, you know.
Right, where he played that exact role. And his relationship with Demi Moore was that also. It was last, at the end of the movie, recognized as a relationship outside of the physical world. So clearly now he's back in that role again. And if you take a look at the people who have had near-death experiences, they will explain that same sensation of things in the physical world no longer have meaning. Things in the non-physical world are what they relate to. And if you think of it that way, then what Lisa is saying makes sense.
Yeah, and she didn't really elaborate on. I'd like to learn more about how that bond has been strengthened. You know, whether it's a sense of presence or whether or not she's had some different phenomena that goes on. You know, I'd be interested in that. She does mention that in their lives together, they had gone to a psychic. You know, and
they had gone through some very bumpy times in their married life because he became an alcoholic. And it was a gift that somebody gave them, which was a visit to a psychic that set them back on track and brought the marriage back together again. So these two have both, in their physical lives together, entered into a very spiritual relationship that they had.
Right.
So that happened before Patrick's passing.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine we will learn more about that, their relationship and her continued communication, you know, and I look forward to reading it. You know, it feels like there's something special that's going to be going on there. I guess what we'll do is go to our break. When we come back, those of you who are not familiar with Dr. Claude Swanson, it's a fascinating man that can talk through about many of the different phenomena that we are familiar with, and he can explain it with science. So stay with us. When we come back, we're going to hear about the unseen world from our guest, Dr. Claude Swanson.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
For those just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Claude Swanson. Our sponsor is the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential and can be found on the web at www.winbridge.org. Bob?
And it's our pleasure to welcome back the current president of Forever Family Foundation, Dr. Claude Swanson. Claude is a physicist who many of you are familiar with his work. And Claude was always curious to understand the world at a much deeper level. He attended MIT, later did his graduate work at Princeton University, where he received his PhD in physics. Now, at Princeton, he was awarded a National Science Foundation Fellowship and a Putnam Fellowship. Dr. Swanson later formed his own consulting company that carried out studies in applied physics for commercial and governmental agencies, including the U.S. Army and the CIA. For the last 20-some-odd years, he's managed to combine this so-called conventional career in the pursuit of unconventional physics, which we're going to be talking about tonight. This unconventional part led him down many paths. He's done things like underwater research, haunted houses, remote viewing, psychokinesis, energy and remote healing, and many, many other investigative pursuits. He's the author of a two-part series, beginning with The Synchronized Universe, and his second book is The Life Force, The Scientific Basis, Breakthrough Physics of Energy Medicine, Healing, Qi, and Quantum Consciousness. Welcome, Claude.
Thank you so much, Bob. It's great to be here.
And great to have you back. I didn't mention that the website is www.synchronizeduniverse.com. Claude, when we, I guess a good place to start, if I went to some of your colleagues at MIT or at Princeton and I mentioned your name, I'm sure I'd get different opinions. You know, some would say, you know, you're, Claude Swanson, he's fringe or he's new age, and yet others in the field would say that you're brilliant and insightful. So what accounts for the, do you think accounts for the difference in perception?
Well, most of them would just say, Claude who?
Yeah. Right.
Well, you know, our Western physics today is in a really strange situation. Most of our funding is government funding through National Science Foundation, et cetera. And you know, the stuff that's not in the open, that's not published in Physical Review and the major open journals, which where most academics publish, there's a huge other side of things which gets done in the classified world, you know, the secret stuff and all that. And so those are the two different branches of science. But you know, the problem is that there's a lot of new stuff going on, and if the government is not funding it through National Science Foundation, then it doesn't get done by the main media that we are used to. It doesn't get out into the academic institutions. And if you're a professor, your university lets you know every day that they want you to get grants. They want you to have those grants coming in because they take money off the top for what they call overhead, which funds the university. So that's kind of the system, and it's very difficult for academic professors to launch off on their own into areas that don't that aren't sanctioned by the mainstream powers that be and aren't sanctioned by government funding. So, you know, what that leaves for the rest of us, for those of us who believe that the real research is in areas that are not being really examined by those sources, it means we have to do it on our own, or we do it from grants, from a few individuals here and there. And there are some institutions, as you probably know, the Society for Scientific Exploration, the ICEM, and a few other organizations that do serve as places for people like us to get together, have our meetings, publish papers, et cetera. And if you look at the research going on in some other places, such as Russia over the past 30 or 40 years, what's going on in these institutions is not that unusual. But academics is still kind of stick in the mud, so it'll be a while before they really open up, I think.
And I think in addition to the funding issues, I mean, frankly, a lot of the data flies in the face of everything that that a lot of mainstream scientists have learned. So it kind of shatters their world, and they're not ready to accept it, right?
Well, yeah, it is something new. However, you know, of course, science is supposed to be driven by experiment. So if you have data that challenges the old theory, the way it's supposed to work is you're supposed to go back and look at the theory and then fix it up to explain the data. But that doesn't always happen that way.
Yeah. So, you know, many scientists and even parapsychologists that, who believe in non-local consciousness and various so-called paranormal phenomena, they seem to throw up their hands and they say things like, I will never prove it. You know, we can't measure this unknown type of energy in a lab. But I take it that you believe that we can explain and measure a lot of these things.
I do, and I believe actually a lot of it has been proven and explained. If you look at the data, I mean, take for example something that we, most of us, you know, in this area know about, which is the Princeton Pear Lab, which has now moved on and changed it to other forms. But for 30 years, the Princeton Pear Lab operated doing research in parapsychology, remote viewing, ESP, and they accumulated their data using very rigorous, very accepted mainstream statistics that any scientist would approve of, and they found overwhelming evidence that these phenomena are real, that ESP is real, the power of the mind to send information, receive information is real, so that at last count, their data says the odds against chance are trillions to one, that the data is real, trillions to one that there's a real force that
right.
has been left out of Western physics. So, you know, if you look objectively, there's solid data. However, getting a lot of mainstream science to look at it, that's another matter.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that any open-minded and true scientist would look at something that had odds against chance of a trillion to one and say, okay.
That's a pretty good bet.
pretty good bet, you know. But then it goes back to the old scientist that says, well, you know, this is the kind of stuff I wouldn't believe even if it was true, you know.
So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But I know one of the fascinating things about you, and I've always told you this, is that you not only, you know, formulate, you know, theory, but you believe a great deal in personal experience. So you've always taken a personal interest in not only the research, but in personally experiencing a lot of these things. I mean, you've been involved in healing experiments yourself personally. You've done remote viewing. I know you've even gone to the John of God, and you want, because you want to see what these things are personally. And I guess, do you think that you do these things personally because that's the only true way that somebody can be convinced? That can you be convinced by the research, or do you have to have a personal experience?
Well, I have this theory that really most of what we do in life is just kind of to trick us to learn the lessons we're supposed to be learning anyway. You know, and so when I used to go down to do the underwater archaeology in Bimini, I'd find myself down there sitting under a palm tree having a rum and coke or something after 3 or 4 days of research, and I was enjoying the sunshine. And I was kind of wondering, you know, like, am I here for the research, or is the research just my excuse for having a nice vacation?
Yeah.
And so what I'm trying to say by that is that I think a lot of times the research is what I think I'm doing, but really it's the learning of the experiences, such as experiencing John of God for 3 weeks, or learning to do remote healing, or doing through 3 courses in remote viewing that I took. I mean, there's a lot of spiritual growth from those things. We learn about ourselves. We get a sense of the other side, of the real powers of consciousness that maybe I didn't understand that's what I was learning when I started out thinking, oh, I'm doing scientific research. But in the end, there's a lot of personal growth there that, that just happens along the way.
So, you know, well, I'll look early in your career. I mean, you mentioned remote viewing. So the remote viewing is an example of how our consciousness can transcend time and space. So didn't that pretty much invalidate what you spent much of your undergraduate and graduate work on? I mean, didn't that that is not possible in traditional
yeah,
science?
Yeah, I wanted a refund after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Well, because all the forces of physics that are we're supposed to have, that are supposed to be real, things like light, they have a finite speed, takes a while to get from here to there, and all the laws of physics are limited by things like that, and yet when you get to psychic phenomena, consciousness phenomena, things like remote viewing, you can look forward in time, you can look backwards in time, you can look across huge distances without any weakening of the effect or the connection. So it's very unlike the forces that I learned about in grad school and undergraduate. And it, what it says is that consciousness uses some other force. There's some other force involved that's not in our present Western science. And that's really what the second book, Life Force, is all about. Like, what is this force? How does it behave? And what rules does it go by? And that was really exciting to me, and that's why it took 720 pages, because once I started, I found out there was a lot more information about this force than I ever had imagined. It's a very old force. It's the force that the Chinese were using when they developed their Oriental medicine, and it's the force that's behind how acupuncture works. It's the force that travels through the ground in ley lines and in the sacred site. It's why you feel a special energy when you're at Stonehenge or Avebury or one of these sacred sites. The shamans around the world in traditional cultures use this energy for healing. So, you know, in the West here, it's a new force that we're just kind of discovering. But really, traditional societies have known about this for thousands of years and have used many different names to describe it. So we're kind of rediscovering something that's very fundamental.
Yeah, now we talk about life force. It's kind of, I take it it's really an all-encompassing term, because we read about zero-point fields, subtle energy, torsion fields. I mean, are we all talking about the same thing? Is this all part of the life force?
A lot of it is. I mean, zero-point is much more limited, but in many ways, yeah, I go through this in the beginning of the book, that what the Chinese call qi, what the Hindus call prana, it's been called vril. It has many different names, dozens of different names in different societies. The Native Americans called it mana, things like that. Every society around the world has had a name for it, but because it's subtle, it shows up in different ways. It affects almost every physical process. The way the Russians, back in the 50s, when they rediscovered it one more time, they began from a very scientific point of view, much unlike the Chinese, which had a more medical point of view. But the Russians found out that it affects almost every physical process. It will affect thermometers, it affects resistors, it affects thermocouples. Lots of technological devices are affected by this energy, each one a small amount. It's a weak effect if you look at one thing by itself. You put them all together, you have a very important effect. So I think it has many different names because, Wilhelm Reich discovered it. I have a chapter on, chapter 3, on how the German scientist von Reichenbach spent 40 years doing research on it in the 1850s. It keeps getting rediscovered.
Yeah, and without getting overly, you know, technical, I know that from reading, you know, the life force, I mean, you point out that, I mean, I was always educated to believe that, you know, a vacuum was totally void of any energy. It was totally empty. And what we've learned now is that the vacuums are actually filled with energy that can be tapped. And a lot of what your book goes into is that we can change the so-called, you know, energy that's in between things to act to affect matter. So is that one way that we can explain some of this psi and healing phenomena? Or are we actually able to change the energy?
Exactly. Yeah. You said that very well. That is very clear. Absolutely. It is the zero point or the vacuum energy. If we just take our Western physics today, we know even our quantum physics, which is 100 years old, is not a new physics, but it's our standard Western physics. It says that the vacuum is filled with energy because the uncertainty principle says that there always is going to be fluctuations of energy. What the Russians discovered is that energy actually has properties. It has character. And it can have two different polarities, either left-handed or right-handed, and the two have very different effects. It's really the same as the yin and the yang energies of Chinese medicine. One speeds things up, one slows things down. One pulls things toward you, one pushes them away. One increases entropy, one decreases entropy. So there are these properties of space. It's not just energy, it's not just empty, it actually has properties, and you can engineer those properties. You can change those properties, and that's what healers do.
Hmm.
You're changing the properties to enhance the potential for life.
And really, what is the mechanism that allows them to change these properties? Is it a question of being these healers are able to synchronize their own consciousness with the the consciousness of the other energy forces? Is there a match?
That's part of it. That one thing we've discovered, I talk about in the book, is that our health and the way our body functions is governed by this energy field that we create around ourselves. Inside the body, it's been called the biofield, but it's a little bit vague. There's lots of these. The DNA of our molecules are always creating light, and it creates a pattern of light. But outside our body, there's also a pattern of energy, and that's the torsion field. And these two fields actually carry the blueprint for our body. They tell our cells how to grow, how to repair. And when that field, that pattern of blueprint gets off a little bit, that's when illness happens. What healers do is they synchronize and couple in with the person who has an illness, and they correct that pattern, or maybe they add some energy to that pattern to get it back to where it's supposed to be. Acupuncture does the same thing, but healers can do it even remotely.
Mm. So what do you suppose happens after physical death? I mean, we have other layers of consciousness that evidently still has the capability of interacting using this same kind of life force. I mean, if you look at the data from mediumship and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, is it a different type of energy, or are we all talking about the same thing?
It's the same thing.
It's
the torsion field. I mean, the electromagnetic energy goes away. That's the photons that DNA creates. That goes away.
Right.
But what we know now is that the DNA is also producing torsion fields, and the torsion field persists. And the torsion field, when you go out of body, have an astral travel experience, some of that torsion field actually travels with the center of consciousness, and it's been detected in experiments. And it also persists after we die. So it's really the part that is in contact with the rest of the universe. It's in contact with the Akashic Record. And I believe, and I'm pretty sure of this, that the memory, the consciousness, and the memory that we have access to is stored there. And so it's sort of the torsion field that's the important ingredient.
Mm. So things like ESP are carried in the torsion field. So I know that you outlined some experiments in a book where you can manipulate the torsion field, to actually enhance the ESP ability. You actually charge the air with torsion somehow,
mm-hmm.
And that enables or increases the psi phenomena. It seems like a promising area of research.
It does, especially for those like me who are not very psychic. We like to have a little help there.
Yeah.
If you go back to the classic book, 1970, Psychic Discoveries Behind the Iron Curtain by Ostrander and Schroeder, It's the classic breakthrough book that talked about what the Russians were doing way back then and kind of woke up a lot of people in America. That book interviews this man, Kozarev, Nikolai Kozarev, has a whole chapter about him. And he's the one who discovered the Russian torsion idea. And he talks there about how to increase ESP using torsion in different ways.
Yeah, I know that in the past a lot was written about, you know, Curlian photography. I know now that there's a new technology, this GDV, this gas discharge visualization, you know, kind of technique. And it's said that you can... it can actually detect a soul as it leaves the body, or it can detect spirit energy. So, is that a new area of research?
Well, it is. The GDV is really the same thing as the Curlian photography.
Okay,
it's all using spark breakdown. You apply a voltage pulse, and you get a breakdown. You get a spark. The difference is that it's much more computerized, so it's much more controlled. Therefore, it's more repeatable. It's still not perfect, but it's a lot more quantifiable. So that's the advantage of GDV. But you're right. They do seem to be able to see the energy pattern shift. When the energy pattern leaves the body, they can see that. There are a variety of things like that that have shown up because the torsion field affects the spark breakdown. So when we're in a high energy state, when we're in a very healthy state, the body tends to release more of left-handed torsion, which increases the spark breakdown. So it looks like we can understand, by using torsion, some of the physics of why GDV and Curlian photography works.
Mm. Okay, we're talking with Dr. Claude Swanson, the author of Life Force, The Scientific Basis. We're going to go to a short break, and when we come back, we're going to hear more about the unseen world from Dr. Claude Swanson. So stay with us. Be back in a few.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net. Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is ATRANSC.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
If you're just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Claude Swanson. This show is sponsored by the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential and can be found on the web at www.winbridge.org. If you're a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Before we get back to our show, I have one important foundation update for our listeners, and we want to share with you about how everyone can help us without sending us money. We know you like the show, you want to listen to it, but we need funds to keep it going. So this is how everyone can help us out without sending us money. Go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that's taken out, and each time the card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. But you don't have to stop there. If your shopping takes you to the Internet, consider shopping at Amazon.com. But first, use the link on the Forever Family Foundation website, and again, a portion of your spending comes back to support our work. Now, if you don't see what you want on Amazon, then sign up with iGive.com and name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. Then search iGive.com for your items. For each search, we will receive a donation. And when you find your items, a portion of what you spend is again donated back to Forever Family Foundation. For example, H&R Block is now donating 8.8% back to Forever Family Foundation. So since you're preparing your taxes now before April 15th, you might want to visit through iGive.com. And if you've made a New Year's resolution to get yourself into shape, you might want to visit Bowflex.com through iGive.com. And for your purchases, you will be able to support the work and this radio show. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. Bob?
And we're back with Dr. Claude Swanson, the author of Life Force, The Scientific Basis. So, Claude, I'm trying to figure this out. What if we're assuming that every person has his or her own unique frequency that we give off, I guess the next step would be that same frequency might be carried out into the universe and over many lives. So people are always asking about past lives and souls and soul splitting, so that in that line of reasoning, it's possible we might remember our past lives because we're part of the same frequency that we always were. Is that logical?
I believe that. Yep, yeah. I believe that too, Bob. Yep.
Yeah. How does one... So then we go through our lives with this particular frequency, and is there any way to train ourselves so that we can tap into other fields or other planes? You know, instead of feeling isolated, that we can have more glimpses of these other dimensions? Can we change our frequency?
Are you saying you'd like to tune into somebody else's past life?
Well, no, I'd like to be able to catch a glimpse of another plane of existence that sometimes I can do when I'm unconscious, as in sleep, but I'd like to be able to do it when I'm not unconscious, you know?
Yeah, I I mean, certainly, as you know, I mean, whenever we do hypnotic regression to look at past lives, that's kind of one way of getting a bigger perspective. People have done a lot of regression work and found that we're able to remember our past lives and even the time in between lives to some extent. So there's a fair amount of information that comes from that about what our lives are like and what the progression is like. Then from studying the great saints and the great yogis and the great masters of history who can do this very easily and can shift between planes very easily, they tend to have a lot more information for us about how these higher dimensions are structured. Mm. So that's one source of knowledge as well. And then, as you know, people also talk about using EVP and various technology as well as through mediumship with people on the other side. So there are ways of making contact like that. So, you know, we have these different pieces of information. I'm hoping, and I have this kind of a vision, kind of a dream, that someday I think we will be able to shift dimensions, make contact. One of the things in my first book, Synchronized Universe, it predicted, it really, that there are these parallel realities, even in the physical plane which we're in. There are many parallel physical planes that we can shift from one to the other in principle. And they are kind of like different frequencies, but they're very similar to one another. And there are some people like Richard Bartlett, who's a healer, who believes that when we do shamanic healing, we're actually kind of shifting to another one of these parallel realities where the illness is no longer present. Because we have some really strange phenomena going on now where instantaneous healing is observed to occur, where people with broken bones see them heal instantly, not just fast, but they just go, the trace of the break goes away. So there's a variety of different types of evidence kind of suggesting that, yes, there are these parallel physical planes, and we're in one of them, but it's possible to shift between them. So if that's the case, then maybe we will be able to have some technology to be able to look into them. Right now, the best I can suggest there is just, you know, meditation and studying with people who are much better at doing this. But I think as time goes on, we'll learn how to access some of that information.
Yeah. You know, you raise a lot of interesting possibilities. When people read your book, they'll understand. But one thing that got me thinking is that, I mean, we are supposedly, in a particular wave function world of infinite possibility. So, you know, we might be sick in this particular wave function, but somehow if we collapse this wave function into another state where we're not ill, then we can heal ourselves.
Uh-huh.
So a quantum? Are we talking quantum worlds? Possibilities in addition, or is that different from the life force?
It's not different from the life force. It's really sort of the model that I'm advocating.
Okay.
But it's not classic quantum physics. In traditional quantum physics that you'll learn in textbooks, and then my MIT colleagues would vouch for. Once you collapse the wave function once, in other words, you have these possibilities. The wave function says there are all these possible realities, but that once you make a measurement, it collapses into one state, and that's the, quote, real state, and then it can't go back. It can't go back into all the other states again. You've lost the other possibilities.
Right.
So it would say that over time, information gets lost, and you give up those other possibilities. Some practices, such as shamanism, which is practiced around the world, matrix energetics and other techniques like that, say is, no, you can go back. It's a reversible process. The information is never lost. And that's really what I advocate. I believe that's probably closer to where we're going to end up with the new physics, that the real background physics is this holographic picture where all these possibilities are present. And our consciousness tunes into one of them and says, that's the real one, you know. but the other ones are still out there, and if we learn how to shift our consciousness, we can access one of the other ones.
Mediums, probably in oversimplistic terms, you know, when you ask them how they're able to communicate, you know, with spirit or another dimension, they say, well, you know, it's a matter of how them speeding up their frequency, and that those in this other realm, you know, slow down, so there's some sort of a match. So do you think that in some crude way that's the way it happens, that there are these energy patterns in this other dimension, and the mediums are able to recognize or synchronize with those energy patterns?
I do. I think that what you're saying is right. I'm sure that they're oversimplifying a little bit. It's probably not just one dimension, like frequency, like turning the radio dial. It may be more complicated. There may be several different frequencies. Or one of the things I talk about in the book is that spatial vibration, the shape of a vibration, is also important. There are certain shapes that have their own particular qualities to them, so there may be more than one kind of vibration that you have to tune into, but I do think that's a pretty good description.
Now, I mean, I have your book on my desk here, and I'm looking at it, and the cover is quite interesting. I mean, there's a lot of things going on in that cover.
Cover.
And, you know, one of them is a pyramid, with some sort of energetic, you know, field being emitted. So does that have to do with the pyramids that they were built on certain ley lines or certain energy lines that tend to facilitate, you know, some of these phenomena?
Yeah, it's a combination of two different things. One is that many of the old sacred sites, including pyramids, were built on some kind of ley line system, and the subtle energy or the chi or the life force travels along these ley lines and then can feed the object or the stone pattern or whatever and can build up the level of energy that's stored there. But then the second thing is that the geometry of the object itself, in this case a pyramid, it's a special shape, and it also couples in subtle energy and it vibrates with certain colors and certain denominations. One of the things I talk about in the book is that subtle energy is not just yin and yang. You know, it's not just two polarities. There are these higher dimensional qualities, which the chi masters might call them colors, for example. Often the healers see them as colors. There are also spatial aspects of subtle energy. Each of the chakras has its own particular geometry that it resonates with. So they call them yantras. In the Hindu tradition, you will focus on a particular shape and see it vibrating, and that will sort of bring you into a coupling with a certain dimension. So there are all these higher aspects of subtle energy that I'm trying to understand and talk about in the book to some extent. We're really just scratching the surface of this science. It's probably very old. Some of the old masters, thousands of years ago, in the Vedas in India, talk about these shapes and these other aspects of the science. I think we're just kind of rediscovering it right now.
Yeah. So theoretically, if you were inside of one of these sacred sites or pyramid, some of the psi ability might be enhanced.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, and that is done. The Russians find that not only pyramids enhance psi, but something else that enhances psi are spiral patterns. It's like a spiral wall of metal. You'll be in the center of it, and if the spiral is spiraling probably to the right, it'll tend to build up a concentration of right-handed torsion in the middle, and that also makes you a better sender of information. And so they've done experiments with right and left-handed spirals and find that they call Khazarev mirrors, and they find that those work very well for sending and receiving information.
Yeah, and you did some a little field study in one of the crop circles, or several of them, I remember reading in the book,
yeah.
And you described feeling some physical phenomena when you were you know, in the circle itself.
I did, and that was one of the early things I did that kind of began waking me up to subtle energy back in 1999. So it was pretty early in my research. This was about 12, 13 years ago. I had gone over there thinking, well, crop circles are geometric patterns. And Art Bell was having, you know, talks for 3 hours every night with Linda Moulton Howe and other people out in the crop circles in England that summer, and it was a spectacular summer of, and, you know, Art loves hyperbole, so it was the most important thing that ever happened on the planet Earth, and everybody knew about it. And I wanted to go over there because I figured these patterns would help me to visualize higher dimensional geometry. I thought that the math, you know, I needed this for the math and to understand the higher dimensional physics. So that was my rationale for going over. But what I discovered that I hadn't expected is each of the crop circles does have subtle energy. It builds up its own, it acts like a sacred site. So when you are there, you'll feel certain feelings, certain types of energies, and certain altered states that you don't normally feel. And every one is different from the others. It's like taking a Reiki course, you know, or an advanced Reiki course, you know, and learning how the different energies feel. So it really, and so the one you're referring to, one of the hackpen circle, looks like a three-bladed scythe, these curved blades that go out maybe 30 or 40 or 50 feet from the center. And what I found was when I walked in one direction along these patterns, I felt a push on my back, like I was being pushed, accelerated forward. If I turned around and walked the other way, I felt resistance. So there was like a horizontal gravitational field there. So that was the first thing I noticed in the crop circles that kind of woke me up to this idea.
And then you said, okay, so maybe there really is something to this. You know?
Exactly.
Of course, that's phenomenal, like a lot of other things. I mean, there are a lot of frauds, you know, that go out and make these. But then there are others that are totally fly in the face of fraud. I mean, it's just almost impossible, even with modern technology, to make the precise carvings that would be suggested. So it really is quite an interesting thing. And I mentioned earlier in the show that you had spent a few weeks investigating, you know, John of God and the psychic surgery and so forth, and you also described something where you had a little procedure done, and you said, well, you know, maybe the guy is full of it. I don't really feel anything, and then you got a surprise a little bit later in your hotel, right?
I left having experienced nothing at my so-called invisible surgeon. Went back to the hotel room that evening, and we were told you've had a serious surgery. Go back and lie down, don't move, lie on your back so the spirits could keep on working on your front, and people will bring you food. And we were told all this, but I hadn't noticed anything. But then as I opened my hotel room door to go in, I suddenly felt this wave of exhaustion. I collapsed on the bed, and I was so tired I couldn't move. But at the same time, I felt all these pains in my abdomen, like little sharp fingers or instruments poking into my abdomen, and it went on for 12 hours or more. And the strong sense I had was that the spirits were trying to show me that, yes, this is real, and just because you don't believe, we're going to make it hurt some, so you notice, you know, that it's really happening. It was quite remarkable.
Yeah, but well, that's what we love about you, Claude. You've made yourself a scientific guinea pig. You know, it's not.
I'm willing to be a pincushion.
Yeah. So you're either a great scientific mind or a glutton for punishment. I don't know which.
Or both.
Well, time has really flown by. We really appreciate your being here. I know we were talking a little bit off air, and you're working on another book, and we anxiously will await that. People are encouraged. They want to learn more about your work. They can go on the website synchronizeduniverse.com. The current book, Life Force, A Scientific Basis, is a combination of a textbook and something really interesting to go through, even in lay terms. So there are links to that book on our website, an Amazon link. Once again, thanks so much for joining us, and we hope to see you real soon. What?
Oh, okay, I wasn't sure if you were signing off there. I wanted to thank.
I did want to make sure I didn't lose you. So, thanks again. We'll talk.
Well, I want to thank you and Fran, Bob. I mean, the work that both of you are doing is so important for transforming our understanding of the whole process of how consciousness continues, and I'm just so grateful for the work you do.
Well, we appreciate that, and that the scientists like you that allow us to do it, and that's the reason we do it, because there's so much credible evidence, and it's amazing that so few people are actually aware of it. So we're your publicists.
well, thank you both.
All right. Take care, Claude.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.
To please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Vicki Steffi, Wendy Lippo, Kathy Ward, Francis Mastracco, Donna Mello, Mark Farron, Eileen LaFada, and all others in the world and beyond in need of healing energy. And now let's give energy of love and gratitude to the waters and all living creatures by praying like this: to the waters, whales, dolphins, pelicans, fishes, shellfishes, plankton, coral, algae, and all creatures. I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. That's a little bit different than Masaru Emoto's original May 9th, 2010 prayer for the Gulf, meant for all the waters of the world. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away,
and science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.